And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Prophecy. You know, what an incredible word that is. I mean, so much in the Bible is prophecy. And Jesus is actually called in the book of Revelation, accurately, that is, very accurately, the Spirit of Prophecy. Now, the Spirit is greater than flesh. The Spirit is superior to all things. For we must worship, according to John 3, verse 3, God in spirit and in truth. It is the way we worship God. It is the only way that you will be accepted by God, for he will not accept your acts, your good works, or your bad works as a sum total of what he wants from you as a servant. You must serve him in spirit and, of course, in truth. Now, those two things go together. You cannot have a lying spirit. Well, you could, but that's one way to receive damnation. No, the Spirit of God is truth. It's truth. The living truth. Now, I want to talk to you today about this truth. And I want to reveal to you the lie. There is a strange doctrine in the Bible. It's strange only because you don't know what it is, perhaps. But God has concealed it for many, many generations. I believe it's time that you know about it, if you don't know about it already. And maybe it'll help you to understand what this ministry is all about. Now, I do not propose for a moment that this great mystery is the only reason for Power of Prophecy, but it is the primary reason why I'm here. And I must say, I must confess, I don't do as good a job as I should. I do not serve God with the fervor that I should. May he forgive me for that. But today I want to talk to you about this, and I want to assure God that I do have the fervor, the truth that he requires. Because I'm going to discuss with you something that is so powerful and so urgent, so life-threatening, that you simply must listen to what I have to say today. It's going to take about 55 minutes or so. If we have to, we'll do another hour. But I'm going to start today with this hour, and I want to talk to you about a strange subject. It's called the mystery of iniquity. There is a mystery of godliness. You see, the ancient world knew little or nothing about Jesus Christ, but he was revealed to the saints and to the church, that is us. And we know that Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. We know he is the only begotten Son, that he sits in the throne with God, that he is God, that it is he who created all the world, everything that you see, feel, touch, and know to be real. Even those things you cannot touch, that some say are unreal. Because the Christian knows there are many things that are seemingly unreal but exist. So Jesus is the mystery of godliness. Now there is at the same time a mystery of iniquity that the Bible talks about. It is evil that is so horribly wicked. It's almost unspeakable. But we will speak about it today. It is the religion of Judaism, also called Kabbalism or Kabbalism. Now, many people ask me, Tex, what is Kabbalism? It is, my friends, Judaism. It is the basis of all the false religions in all the world. And the fact that so few people know of it in the entire universe, this entire world that we call Earth, is the reason that it is the mystery of iniquity. It has many forms. I wrote an entire book, New Age Religions and Cults, because it takes within its parameters and compass all of the false religions and cults of the world. They all use Judaic religion. Now, at the time I began to write that book, even I did not understand it, and God has given me so much understanding over the past, oh, say 20 years. And now I want to pass on some of these things to you. Now, you may think that what you see in Judaism is all you get, but you would be wrong. I'm going to tell you some things about Judaism that you probably don't know. And certainly, when you go out into the world and you meet fellow Christians and pastors, theologians, and so forth, they will not know of these things. It seems that every pastor believes he knows what Judaism is as a religion. Yet, I have not met one pastor that actually understands it. I wrote an entire book, much of it talking about what the religion of Judaism is all about. My book is entitled Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. But for some reason, it doesn't seem to have caught on with people. They can't seem to understand it. And the number of letters I've got on the book can be counted maybe on both of my hands. And yet I start off the first few chapters with explaining what Judaism is really all about. But people seem to reject that, even though I quote the rabbis themselves, their textbooks. These are not my ideas, but the Bible does explain them. If you read the Bible, you would understand. But people do read the Bible and they say, that cannot be. That cannot be Judaism. I know what Judaism is. And they go on with a lie. What is that lie? It is that Judaism is the predecessor to Christianity. And that Christianity is just a follow-up or a additional thought, volume 2. People believe that Christianity is Judaism 2.0, let's just say, from a college standpoint. Oh, no. Let me explain. So many write to me and say, Tex, why are you against Judaism? It's a Christian religion. And I want to actually vomit. What do you mean it's a Christian religion? Many people say that if you're a Jew and you accept Christ, then you're a completed Jew. You build on to the Judaism that you were taught. You cannot be a completed Jew, because Judaism is the most evil of all the world's religions. And it is the foe that we fight here in the last days. It is the doctrine of hell. It is the doctrine of Satan. It is the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 3, verse 9. That's what Judaism is all about. You know, there's a pastor, I don't remember his name, it's irrelevant. He's got all kinds of degrees after his name. Graduated from Harvard or some silly place. And there's a Jewish rabbi. They go around, they call themselves the God Squad. And they go around on talk shows and everything. One gives the Christian angle, the other the Judaic angle. And they both seem to be moral, pious people, good people. They leave the impression, and they've been on so many shows from Larry King to Good Morning America to whatever. They leave the impression that there's not much difference. I mean, there's a very small distinction between the two, Judaism and Christianity. Let me ask you a question. Look at Satan. Look at his character. Look at his behavior. Look at his works. And look at God. Now compare the two. Do you see God in Satan? Do you see the wonderful things he has done? Do you see the lovely world that he wants us to live in? Do you? If you do, then you really need this program today. Because you're living in a hellish illusion, my friend. There is no Satan in God. He is purely and wholly evil. He is the father of the lie and the father of the first murder on this planet. There is no darkness in Jesus Christ. In him is pure light. And it is that which we seek as Christians, though we sometimes feebly do so. Now, I know that the Judaic religion seems to be a wonderful and mighty instrument, and you read about it in the Bible. But that's not the Judaic religion you're reading about. You're reading about the prophets, men of God and their works, and even the nation of Israel, the very few times when it was righteous and on that path. But for the most part, the Old Testament is a book of evil things, and you see so much evil. God is warning us about these evil things. Should the Old Testament be a part of the New Testament? Yes, go all the way from Genesis to Revelation. But you don't mix the evil with the good. These evil things are put to us as examples for us to stay away from. That's what the Apostle Paul said. All these things are in samples for us. Examples, we say in today's English. But mischief is coming upon mischief today. Rumor upon rumor. And you've got to understand Judaism. Now, some say it's the first few books of the Old Testament, the Torah. But Judaism takes these and then suddenly turns them on you and says, yes, it is true. That is what Judaism is, the Torah. But the Torah, they say, must be understood and explained by the rabbis. And how do they explain it? How do they cause you to know what's in the Torah, in the Old Testament, that is? Why, they use the Talmud, a book written by men, and they use the Kabbalah, a devil's formula book, again written by evil men. You cannot take the Word of God and then take some other book to explain it. I often see Bibles and they have these commentaries in them. The commentaries are longer than the words of God. I tend to throw those Bibles away. Some people have written me saying, do you have a Bible just has the Word of God in text? I'd like to buy it. Well, buy it and don't give it away. It's worth your money, let me tell you. Now, I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm going to go very fast here because I want you to understand that in Judaism, let me just give you the first principle of Judaism. Judaism is a religion of the serpent, of Satan, of the dragon, of Satan. I have to repeat his evil name twice there. That is Judaism. It is the most wicked, foul religion on this planet. Now, if you're a rabbi listening to me, you know you're an evil man. You're an evil man pushing the sick, disgusting religion of Satan. Jesus came to save you and your ilk, but you hung him on the cross. But he lives forevermore. Now, what I'm going to tell you today is worthy of death for me. It is. The Talmud, Libri David 37, that's the quote, the quote, the reference, says, to communicate anything to a goy, that's a Gentile, about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews. For if the goyim, the Gentile, knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. It is against the law for a Jew to teach his religion to you, unless you're a convert, unless you've accepted the principle of Satan. Even to communicate what I'm going to tell you today is worthy of death for me. And no Jew can tell you these things, but I find all the Jews' textbooks. I find what the rabbis say. I read the Talmud. I read the Kabbalah. And there it is. They don't hide it, but the Christian doesn't go look for it. They don't know. They're stupid and they want to remain stupid. And they go to seminaries and religious schools for years and never study the truth. But no one has ever said to me, "Tex, you're lying about these things." Jerry's over here by broadcast engineer. Is there any person who said what you say about Judaism is a lie, Tex? I don't get that. Even the Jews know I tell the truth about them. They just don't want anybody to know about it. They hope I'll go away or people will not believe me or whatever. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. You will believe me if you're of Jesus Christ. You will instantly know these things are true. I read to you from Ezekiel 8. This is how the Jews operate. This is what they do. Here's from the prophet Ezekiel. He's going to tell you about the religion of Judaism. He says, and it came to pass, chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month. Boy, I love that time. The sixth year, the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month. The day before 666. Think about that. As I sat in mine house, he was sitting in his house, and the elders of Judah sat before me. Oh, there they were, the elders. They had come to seek counsel and to meet with the great prophet Ezekiel. That the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. He was sitting in his house, discussing things with the elders of Zion, the elders of Judah, when the hand of the Lord God fell on him. Now you would think that the Lord God falling on him, that he would begin to talk in tongues, or he would begin to tell the elders, "Oh, you're so wonderful. You're the elders of Judah. You're so powerfully religious, and your rituals and your worship services please me so much." God saith. But he didn't say that at all. Now you go on down to verse 4 says, "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain." God sent him a vision as he sat there with the elders. You go back to verse 3 and it says, "And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy." God took him up and he went to Jerusalem. And there was the door of the door of the temple. But what was he to see there? God said, "Here is the image of jealousy. And it provokes to jealousy." God's a very jealous God. He is. The image there was provoking God. "Then said unto me," verse 5, "Son of man, lift up thine eyes now toward the way, toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry." It was in the very entry. You couldn't even get in the place without this image. What was it? A picture? A painting? Was it a great statue? "He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here? That I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." He said, "Look, here's the temple. Right in the very entrance you see this horrible image. This is what the people of Israel, this is what the elders of Israel are doing. It's abomination," he said. "And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig down the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold, the wicked abominations that they do here." He saw a hole in the wall, and he saw a door, and he said, "Go in that door." Now, obviously, the public couldn't get in. This was a secret door, wasn't it? So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Wow. The people of Israel obviously didn't even know this was going on. They thought these were mighty men of God. They thought the elders were wonderful religious saints. But there, in a secret location inside the great temple, what were they doing? There were all of these creeping things, serpents, snakes, scorpions, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, all the idols portrayed upon the wall. They're all painted there. They're all a wonderful image. And that's what they were worshiping, because he says, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. There were the 70 elders. And there was their leader, Jezaniah. And they were with incense. And a thick cloud went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. Every man saw for in his own self, he saw in his own mind these horrors, but he worshiped them. Every man in the chambers of his imagery. On earth today, friends, every man is worshiping God in his own image, whatever he thinks he should be. Allah, or the God of Israel, or Buddha, or some other strange deity. Plus, they worship every imaginable thing. For they say, verse 12, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Isn't that what people say now? Isn't that what the Jews say now? The Jews say, we're our own Messiah. We're our own Messiah. We look for a representative to come who will be like King David, but we're our own Messiah. We Jews, we're like gods on earth, they say. Because the Lord doesn't see us, the Lord has forsaken the earth. Then he said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. If you don't know who Tammuz is, go to your encyclopedia. You'll find out who he was, the ancient god of Babylon. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. They had their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. They don't even smell the stink. They've got a branch to their nose, he says. Therefore, while I also deal in fury, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. That's Ezekiel 8. The Jews cry out to God with a loud voice to this day, but he doesn't hear them. They cried out when the Germans took them to concentration camps, but he didn't hear them. Who were they crying out to? God? No. To Satan. That's their God. And back in Jesus' time, they also worshiped the same Satan. You don't believe me? Turn to Acts 7, verse 43. Jesus had just been slain by the Jews, and Stephen was accosted by the Jews in Jerusalem, and they asked him, "What are you doing preaching this Jesus?" One of the things he said, you'll have to read it for yourself, one of the most amazing sermons ever preached, the most astonishing things ever said on this planet are in Acts chapter 7 by Stephen. They're so astonishing and so accurate that it caused the men of Judah to grab him and eat his body with their own mouths. They gnashed at his flesh. They were like cannibals, like zombies, killing the man. Then they dragged him still alive outside the city, and they stoned him to death. What did he say that made them so angry? Here's what he said. "Yea," said Stephen, the first martyr, "ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rimphan, figures which ye made to worship them." Now he's talking about what happened after God had rescued them from Egypt. What did they do in the desert? Did they thank God? Did they worship God only? They were headed to the promised land. What more could God do for them than to rescue them from Pharaoh? Well, I'll tell you what they did. The people of Israel, they took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Who was Moloch? He was the star god. He was Satan. He was Baal. They began to worship him. "And the star of your god," Rimphan was his name. Another name he had. And Kiun was yet another name. "Figures which ye made to worship them." They made these figures. You've heard about the golden calf. These were superior gods even to that. "And I will carry you away beyond Babylon." Oh, they're going to go beyond Babylon. They've already passed Babylon. There is a mystery Babylon. That's where they're headed. That's where they're at today. Now, that's how they arrived at the worship of Moloch, the great god, to whom the Jews actually sacrificed their own children to the fires of Moloch. You say, they would never do that. They're so holy. They're God's chosen. They wouldn't sacrifice their own children. Oh, yes, they did. Read it for yourself. "Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." Acts 7, verse 43. And for that, and also for pointing out that they killed the just one, Jesus, which is a true accusation, but made them furious, they killed Stephen. And God has taken them into captivity for that. And when you take a man in captivity, not his body, but his spirit and his soul go there as well. And he will worship devils. He is taken captive, and he cannot help himself. If you have not Jesus, you will be taken captive in this coming tribulation period. Listen to me, very, very close friends. You will be taken captive. You're not greater than your Lord. Who is your Lord? It's Satan. If you don't have Jesus, he will take you captive. You say, "I'm too strong. I've studied these things. I'm a good person. I've done great works. I'm a billionaire. Look at all the money I give to zero population growth or to some, you know, abortion clinic. Look at the wonderful things I've done." Yeah. Here's what God said in Amos. "The Lord God hath sworn to himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellence of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein." Let's take a break now. I'll be right back in just a minute, and we'll talk more, and I want to introduce you to the many gods and goddesses of Judaism, of the Kabbalah. You've probably not heard of these before. They don't talk about them, but I'm going to introduce you to them. I'm going to tell you all about them, their names, their purposes, their sexual vices. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. I'm Tex Mars. You know, today we're talking about the religion of Judaism, the true religion of Judaism. You can't find this at a Christian bookstore. You can't. They've got lying books at those Christian bookstores. Very few are even owned by Christians today. But I have written about the religion of Judaism in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Conspiracy. There is a conspiracy of the house of Judah and of those who portray themselves as Jews, but are actually Khazars. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's a big book, about twice as big as a regular book. It's 430-some-odd pages, so I guess it's about the same as a book of 800 pages. Now, we asked for $25 for this book because it is so huge and it costs so much to produce. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 for this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. All kinds of things in this book, but it starts off with telling you what is the religion of Judaism, as explained by its rabbis, and is found in their most holy book, the Jewish Talmud. It's called the Babylonian Talmud, believe it or not, and also the Kabbalah, or the Zohar, and its other books. You'll learn about what the six-pointed star means. You'll learn who are the gods and goddesses of Judaism. Who is the serpent that they worship? You'll learn about Freemasonry and its connections with Judaism and the various cults. You'll learn about Karl Marx and what he had to do with Judaism. You'll discover that Obama is, in fact, a servant of the Jewish monopoly. You'll learn that George W. Bush and his father were also. And you'll go all the way back even to discover that President Nixon was deposed primarily by the Jews in America. You'll find out why the Jews love money so much. Why they love money so much. And you'll discover what they really feel about Christianity and how much they despise and hate you and I as Christians. Now, I don't know of any other book that's ever been published like Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I know that God anointed me to write this book. He anointed me to write this book. I don't know how long it's going to be in publication. When I die, maybe they'll take it out of publication and kill the book. I'm not sure. But I know that now you can obtain it. It's a book like you've never seen. It's documented. You can imagine the pain they would cause me with lawsuits if it were not true. But I want you to have this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, for a total of $30. That includes shipping and handling, of course. Just ask for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And you can begin to study the true religion of Judaism, and you will see all the horrible works that they've perpetrated on you and I and the millions of people that have died because of Judaism over the years. And you will understand why I say that this religion is not in any sense connected to Christianity. Because Jesus came and gave us a true religion. A true religion that was connected to the good things of the Old Testament and not to the strange and evil doctrines of the mystery of iniquity. Now, here's how to get your book. Just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com will get you there too. powerofprophecy.com. There on the homepage, you'll see this book, and you can order it with your charge card, your MasterCard, or Visa, Discover, your PayPal, if you've got that. And we will send it immediately to you. We have plenty of copies. We're going to keep them coming. Now, you can also order it through Amazon.com if you'd like. But we hope you'll order it through us because every dollar that you send to this ministry goes into the ministry. I want to assure you that I receive no royalties whatsoever on the books that I write for this ministry. No royalties whatsoever. Okay? I don't have any contract with these books. I write the books, I copyright them, I give them to the ministry. They are simply the The ownership goes to the ministry. And what does the ministry do with every cent that it gets? It plows it back into the work of God. That's what we do here, friends. And we want you to know that. Now, again, this book, you can get it by ordering it. Just send us a check or money order or cash of $30 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay? That's our address. Oh, yes, Jerry's informing me here that I almost forgot to give you our phone number. We always like to do that. We love to hear from you, and please order this. A very friendly person will take your order. Make sure you get the book. Our phone number is toll-free. You don't even have to pay for it. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234. Now, see how easy that is? 9673. Monday through Friday, during the work hours, call us up, and we'll send you the book. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're examining the gods and goddesses of Judaism, of the Kabbalah. Now, I was just talking about the book of Amos and the six-pointed star, which is the sign of their God. That's why it's on the Jewish flag today, of course. It's the sign of their God. It is coded with the number 666. Now, at some other time, I've discussed that in the past. We have an entire audio tape about that. If you would like it, a 60-minute audio tape about the six-pointed star, just call us or write to us. And I think for $10 plus $5 shipping and handling, we'll send you that as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about the gods and goddesses of Freemasonry. If you study the ancient gods and goddesses of the Babylonian system, you'll discover that they're also in Judaism. Now, that makes sense because the Jews, the Israelites, were taken captive by Babylon. And they spent 70 years of captivity in Babylon. You can read about that in the book of Jeremiah. You can read about that also in the book of Daniel. It was there that they developed these things that later came to be called the Talmud. And the Kabbalah also came from these same systems. So those are the two main books of the Jews today, the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the Kabbalah because it is the system of magic and sorcery that is so loved and appreciated today. I mean, Britney Spears studies the Kabbalah. So does Madonna. So does Bill and Hillary Clinton. So does even Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader of the U.S., the head of the U.S. Senate. He is the majority leader, but he's also the head dog. The Jews, of course, believe in this, but also the Mormons. They're also basically Gentile Jews. Now, in the book, the Kabbalah, you'll find that the Jews believe in the tree of life. The tree of life. Now, I have a picture of it on page 25 of my book. But it's interesting. It shows you a number of gods and goddesses. In fact, let's see, there's 10, 11. There's 11 gods and goddesses. But there are many more than that. I'm just giving you what the Tree of Life has here. Now, the Tree of Life also is constructed in a sense like a six-pointed star. Now, below on the Tree of Life is a goddess. Now, first of all, you're saying they worship only God. They only believe in one God. That's baloney. Believe me, they worship many gods and goddesses. That's why I'm telling you about them. Okay? Now, below is the goddess that they worship. You have heard of the Shekinah. Now, in many churches today, they say, let us pray to the Shekinah. Let us welcome the Shekinah to our congregation. Now that pastor is mixed up. He's confused. The Shekinah is the goddess of Judaism. It's the queen. It's the goddess. It's the goddess of Babylon. It's the goddess of Egypt, Isis. He's inviting the goddess into his congregation. Well, what is her name? The Shekinah. The Shekinah glory. She fills the temple. She fills the tree of life with her glory. Now, she's got a number of other names. One of them is Leviathan. Oh, yeah, Leviathan. The same one that is mentioned in the book of Job in the Bible. Leviathan, the great serpent. Wow. Now, Leviathan also has a masculine image. Behemoth. Behemoth and Leviathan. There are two serpents. She represents both the male and the female image. But what is her name? Well, they call her Leviathan or Behemoth. But she's also called Malkut. Now, Malkut is a substitute for Moloch. Here again, we have the god Moloch. Turns out that Moloch, the one that's mentioned in Amos, is the one that the Jewish parents would bring their children to be sacrificed in the fire to, that Moloch is Malkut. Malkut. Now, let's talk about this Malkut. She's the queen of heaven. Except that they don't really believe in a heaven. They just, there's the other world the Jews talk about. Now, she has sex. Oh, yes. In the Jewish religion, Malkut, or Leviathan, has a lot of sex. In fact, just above her on the tree of life is Hesod, H-E-S-O-D. He's the phallus deity. This is a sex cult I'm talking to you about. Hesod, H-E-S-O-D, also known as Chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. Now, Hesod is the phallus deity. They borrowed this god from the Greek pantheon. He's similar to the god Atlas. You know, the one holding up the entire world? Well, this Atlas, or Hesod, the phallus, in other words, dare I say it, the penis deity, constantly has sex with the queen. And they two together then maintain the whole world through their sex. Can you believe that? This is taught in Freemasonry, by the way. You say, well, I've never heard of that in Freemasonry. Oh, yes. The symbol G in Freemasonry symbolizes the generative force that is sex. The generative force. This is the Luciferian sexual power of creation. The G. You've heard of the G spot in women? You've heard of the G string of the female stripper? Ah, yes. G. G is called geometry by some Masons who chuckle and think the stupid non-Mason does not understand what we're talking about. But G is generative force, sexual power. It is in the center of the Freemason symbol. You know the square and the compass? Look at the square and the compass, friends. Look at it very carefully. You'll find that the square and compass is a male atop a woman performing the sex act. That's what it stands for. And the G is in the center. The G is the male organ and the female organ. And the square and compass, the prime symbol of Freemasonry, is also nothing less or nothing more than a stylized Star of David. That's why in many Freemason lodges around the world, they just go right to the Star of David. They believe in the Star of David. Albert Pike, who was a former sovereign grand commander of Freemasonry, admitted that it was the Jewish Kabbalah that was the source of all of the 33 rituals of Freemasonry. Think about that. You Freemason out there, you probably don't even know that. Most Freemasons are so stupid, they go through all these rituals and so forth, and well, they just find out that they're meaningless to them. But listen, they do have meaning. Everything done in Freemasonry has a satanic premise to it. Believe me. Now, this Malkut, or Shekinah, or Leviathan, all those are names, she is going to someday be impregnated by Hesod. And when she does, she will ascend up the tree of life. Yes, the pregnant goddess will ascend up the tree of life. You know, in movies, we had depicted the devil's child. You know, that a woman supposedly has sex with a devil, and from that come a devil's breed, a devil's child. That's what we're talking about here. Through unholy sex with Hesod, the phallus deity, the queen, Shekinah, or Malkut, really known as Moloch, will produce a child. And you go up the tree of life, and you have all these deities, and the male or female. By the way, not only is there a queen and a, you might say, a king in Hesod, god and goddess, they constantly have sex with each other, but they have a son and a daughter. There's a son and a daughter, and they also have sex constantly with each other. Incest. Now, where did this incest come from? It came from Babylon, where incest was the very basis of the throne, and the queen had incest with her own son. And by the way, in every world capital today of any meaning, I mean London, England, Rome, Italy, or Washington, D.C., you're going to see a representative of this queen, of the Jewish queen. You say, where was that? I've never seen such a thing. Oh, yes. Have you not seen the U.S. Capitol building? The queen. She sits atop the Capitol building. Now, Hesod, the phallus deity, he's represented in Washington, D.C. and in these other cities. He's the great obelisk. The great obelisk, the Washington Monument. Standing straight up. There he is. The phallus of the sun god. There it is. You have the ancient religion of Judaism in Washington, D.C. Now, this Malkut is destined, the Jews believe, to become the Messiah of Israel. She'll be a representative, a showcase. But actually, the people of Judaism, they will be their own god. They will be their own a collective Christ. How do I know this? Well, that's their religion. That's what it says. The Jewish people are going to be their own collective Messiah. And they will be dominant over all the peoples of the earth. There will be no more national boundaries. There will be no Jewish nation. There will only be a Jewish world order. And the gods and goddesses of the Jewish tree of life, headed up by Malkut or Moloch, the Shekinah glory. She's at the bottom because she has to ascend to the top. And that's where in the tree of life, they have a black snake, Leviathan, that she represents. And the black snake goes up the tree of life all the way to the top. And at the top, there is Kether, the crown. But beyond him, there's a secret god. Yes, Judaism even has a secret god. That's why the Jews don't pronounce his name. When they spell it, it's G-D. There's no O. There's no O. The O comes when the goddess meets this great god. This great god, the Jews are even frightened to name. They have symbols which mean the great god. What is his name? Well, they give a substitute for it. They call him Ensof. E-N, one word, S-O, P-H. Now, Malchut has the serpent power. But Ensoph is the mighty secret God. Who is that? And what is the royal secret of Freemasonry and the Hebrew Jewish religion? Well, it's all talked about. You know, I was reading a book recently by Jim Shaw. He was initiated as a 33rd degree Mason, and then he said, I don't want any part of this. He became a Christian, and God said, get out of that. And he did. He wrote a book called The Deadly Deception. The Deadly Deception. Now, in receiving the 33rd degree, he first had to get the 32nd degree. He had already received that. And it's called the Prince of the Royal Secret degree. Here's what he was told. The exact words that Jim Shaw was told in receiving his 32nd degree. Now, this is the Kabbalistic philosophy of the Jews. This is the significance of the philosophy of the royal star goddess, the Shekinah glory, Malchut or Moloch. This is when she mates with her male consort to produce creative energy. She created the world with this sexual energy, they believe. Shaw was told this. He was told, you have reached the mountain peak of Masonic instruction. Let me give you a hint. The hint is the royal secret. It is there you will find light. Yes, brothers, the hint is in the royal secret. The true word, the word of God now, is that the man born of a double nature of what we call good and what we call evil, spiritual and earthly, mortal and immortal, finds the purpose of his being only when these two natures are in perfect harmony. Harmony, my brethren, harmony is the true word and the royal secret which makes possible the empire of true Masonic brotherhood. So we're informed then that harmony or order is the royal secret. This is equilibrium. This is when the two male and female forces come together and become one. That's when the serpent reaches its tail. Ouroboros, the serpent. In its long journey, this slithering serpent, the goddess, energy, she reaches her tail and consumes it. She comes from the abyss upward. That's the Jews. They come from the pit of hell. That is where you will find the God of the Jews, in the pit. His name, Abaddon. Apollyon. Read the book of Revelation. You'll read about this great serpent. You'll read about him coming out of the pit in the last days. You'll read about Jerusalem being the city that is beyond all wickedness, where he rises up out of the pit. Yes, Jerusalem is not the holy city, but the ungodly, devilish city. The supreme deity. As above, so below. She eventually rises. She comes up. She ascends. This black snake. She goes to the top, and there she will meet Ensoph. Who is Ensoph? That's Satan. But the ancient Romans worshipped him as Saturn. Satan was Saturn. They had the Saturnalia, with drink, sexual orgies, wild hedonistic parties. Don't we have them that like that today? The witches' orgies? And these people go to the beaches and various, you know, Padre Island, it's called Father's Island, Galveston, Fort Lauderdale. They go out to California. They have their Saturnalias, their parties, their sex festivals. And there they worship Saturn. Well, they don't know they're worshiping Saturn. They're just worshiping themselves. That's what the Jewish worship. Helena Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine, she was one of these people. She worshiped the Jewish Kabbalah. She knew what it was about. She said, quote, it is Satan who is the God of our planet and the only God. It is Satan. The Saturn spirit. He was called Moloch, Rimphan, Kiun, yes, Baal, and Malchut. And know, you know who he is now, don't you? So, he's not Jehovah. Jehovah's another God. Oh, the Jews say we worship Jehovah, but they worship Jehovah in another bit of garb, of different clothing, in fact. You got to have a good God and an evil God, and the two have to join together. How can you join evil with good? How can you mix darkness with light? You can't. That's why Harold Rosenthal, in the book The Hidden Tyranny, 1976, he admitted. He said, most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer. We are his chosen people. He added, Lucifer is very much alive. Now, I only have a few more minutes, but I want to tell you who Lucifer is. There's very little mention of the name Lucifer, but we know what it is. It's Satan. Now turn with me, please, to Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. Here's what the Bible says about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation to the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. He says, I'm evil. I will combine evil with good. I will meet with my great goddess, the snake, and we will become as one. And the Jewish people will be the personification of Satan. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, friends, as I've said before, you read these verses and you will find positive confession after positive confession. He's a positive thinker, is he not? I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Isaiah 14, verse 15, is the end of the matter. Isaiah says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There is the future place of Ensof. There is the place of the Jews. There is where they, collectively calling themselves Christ, will go down into hell, to the sides of the pit. It's a place that God has prepared for them. But they can be rescued. They can be redeemed. A Jew is no different than anyone else. If they throw out all this trash, all this garbage, all this supremely evil nonsense, and say, I will not worship that. I will worship the true God. The God of the New Testament and the Old. His name is Jesus. He is the one. His name is above all names. I will bow my knee to him. I will worship him. If they do that, my friends, Gentile or Jew, you will live forever. This is Tex Mars. We've been talking about Judaism, evil religion of Satan and the Antichrist. Stay true to Jesus, friends. Stay true. We're coming upon a very perilous time. Well, thank you, friends, for listening to this program. My prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.